Welcome to Season 4 of Blackness in the Workplace, the podcast. Our mission, as always, is to empower Black professionals by providing resources, guidance, and support within a safe space to speak truth to power about the uniqueness of our shared experiences and identities. Here at Blackness in the Workplace, we believe in centering, promoting, building, and supporting Black professionals both inside and outside the workplace. Our voices matter, our lives matter, our experiences matter. I'm your host and your advocate, Jessica. So let's get this conversation started.
Three. Latrice Huff is a career coach to ambitious women of color. She specializes in personal branding and helps her clients earn more money by using their gifts. Her proven approach to personal branding has helped her clients boost their confidence, fulfillment, and their bank account. Her clients have increased their salary anywhere between $15K to $40K, but the real success is their increase in their self-worth. Latrice has a bachelor's degree in business administration with over 10 years in human resources, recruiting, and marketing. So thank you, Latrice, for coming on the show. I'm very excited to have a conversation with you today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got the experience and the skills, so we definitely want to have you on and you talk about your path and, you know, the advice that you can give our listeners as we talk about the Rebuilding Black Wall Street Part 2.
So, I love it.
Yes. So what I want to do is just start with, you know, a little bit more about your background, where you're coming from. You know, you have your own consulting business. So mm-hmm. what led you to build that business as you went throughout your career?
Well, I have always had some sort of business or side hustle. So what's not in my bio is I was actually a teen parent. And I was actually a single mom for several years before I married my husband. And that is a huge part of my story that I typically didn't tell. And I don't know if it was shame or what, but I see now being a teen mother, being a single mother, it enabled me to see things differently. I had to do things differently from the story that people tell of like, you know, go to school, get good grades, and then go straight to college and then do this and be happy. I needed a different version to be successful. I couldn't do those typical things because by the time I was 18, I already had two kids. You know, that's not in the pretty bio, but it helped me so much because I still was able to go to school, go to prom, graduate, go to college. I just did it differently.
Right.
And what I realized, the more I tapped into Latrice and just showed up who I was and just didn't try to hide. I felt like I was always trying to hide. Whether it was people telling me I spoke like a white girl, which was weird because I grew up in Baltimore City, right?
Yeah, I know. That's such a dumb thing to say.
Which I mean, I was like,
what does that mean?
I truly have a Baltimore. I still get teased about my Baltimore City accent, right? You know, which is so weird. Or like being called a nerd because I did my homework, or, you know, getting ostracized and friends' parents saying they didn't want their kids around me because I was a teen mom. You know, all of those things shaped me into who I was. So I've always had some sort of side hustle. Like my mom had her own business. So I was always about like, it's ways to create money. I'll say that I kind of always had that mentality of like, oh, okay, that's all right. I got it. Don't worry about me. I'm good. Right. So I like sold things on eBay when my kids needed like school clothes or Christmas gifts because I worked, I worked like everybody else and I was living check to check. And if any additional expense came up, like if my car needed to be repaired or kids need school clothes, it always put me in a negative.
I had that.
I started a marketing business, Dynamic Marketing Solutions. I used to do freelance for people. So I always had something. And then I wound up just gradually going into HR. My degree is in business marketing. And then I got a job in marketing and did not like my boss, but loved the company. So I switched over to HR And they already had me doing some HR functions, and I was already like very heavily in the HR committee. So I don't want to just be like, oh, I just woke up one day and decided. I was like engaging and doing HR activities when I made that transition. And I loved it. I absolutely fell in love with human resources, everything about it. I got to see people in a different way. I loved the company. And I was with that company for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Even though I love the company, it taught me so much. I saw some behind the scenes stuff.
Oh, yeah.
HR will do that. HR. Oh, it's an eye opener. It's an eye opener. And so, you know, I wound up like falling in love with this guy. He was in the military. And, you know, on the honeymoon, he's like, hey, I'm getting stationed in California. I worked in Maryland and lived in Pennsylvania at the time. And I was like, okay, so I guess I'm moving to California. So yeah, I quit my job, you know, my husband quit my job, moved to California. And we were in California in the middle of nowhere. So my first instinct was like, I'm going to get another job. And I'm looking, I was like, oh, I could work in LA, but it was so far away. LA was like 2 hours away. And so he was like, nah, we're new. Maybe we shouldn't. and I was like, okay, I started my business. And I started my business actually writing resumes for donations to military spouses. And then I was like, oh, I want to get into like consulting with companies. I thought I was going to teach companies how to recruit and retain employees, which I do something like that now. And then it shifted more into coaching when I went to a networking event and realized people wanted to know more about my story and how I worked my way up in my career. Because I worked my way up from like this entry-level person to running my own department. And people were so interested in that.
Right.
So I kind of fell into coaching. And then people started referring people. That company that I told you to work for continuously feeds me. This is where personal branding comes in. Because I built up such a strong brand, it has been years, and I still get referrals from employees. I'm still working with them. I still have contracts from businesses because of those employees. I mean, it was just such a dynamic place for me to learn and blossom and hone in on my brand. So to this very day, I have clients like and referrals coming from them.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of short story of like how I started my business.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I like what you said in the beginning where, you know, you were a teen mom and, you know, we oftentimes not everyone's path is linear. I think that's really important to understand. Like we all come from different struggles and different backgrounds. And, you know, they used to say, it's not where you're from, it's where you're going. And so there's no right way or one way to get to something. And life can throw you curveballs. I mean, I know for me, people say, well, how did you get into HR? And I was like, well, when I graduated from undergrad, I was very sure about going into film. That was my passion. And that's what I wanted to do. But as I got older, I realized, you know, I'm about to be 30 and you got to pick a street and you know, family things. I had to be able to help my parents. And so your life comes in. And so I went into HR. I realized that I was good at it. Like you said, it's very much an eye opener, which led me to establish blackness in the workplace. Cause there was a lot of stuff that I was seeing that was not okay. But at the same time, too, it allowed me to provide a livelihood for myself and for me to help my family and what have you, too. So everyone's path is different. And I appreciate you. And when you tap into who you are, too, when you create your brand, people like realness and they can sense that. And if you are someone, you know, who is trying to cover up, people can pick up on that really quick. I know for me, when it came to my brand, I didn't talk about, you know, the time I got severance or fire from our job or the issues that I had with my manager or the racism and the bigotry that I was dealing with. I kept everything sanitized for the longest time. And I realized like, that's not my reality. That's not what I went through. So I needed to start talking about my truth. And from there, people just like, finally, you know, and you'll be surprised how many people share the same background as, you know, coming. They'll be like, finally, someone else is talking about it or someone else, I can relate to someone who's similar. So I appreciate you telling us your story. So you got into consulting that way, and you work primarily with women, Black women, or just women of color in general?
I work with women of color, primarily, and I would say before I probably had a lot more Black women. And then when I really started saying women of color, because what I noticed is that we share similar stories, as similar elements to our story.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to say that, like, there is a difference between a Black woman and an Asian woman and a Hispanic woman. And I don't want to, you know, water down those differences.
Right.
However, there are a lot more similarities than differences. We all have this exact same, I would say, elements of our struggle that mm-hmm. we're going to face in the workforce.
Right.
So I remember taking this psychology class, which I initially hated when I was going to my degree and mm-hmm. did not know why I needed to take it. I was like, one, I'm Black. Like, why I need to know about sociology or whatever. I got it. I live it. And one of the questions on like this quiz was like, when someone sees you, what's the first thing they see? And it was like race, gender, color. It was something like that. And I think I said gender. And she was like, no, I got it wrong. And then she's like, well, guess again, you know, take it again. And I was like, race. And she was like, no. And I remember, like, it was a quiz. I got it wrong. And I was like, no. She was like, no. People don't know your race. They see your color first. And sure. I remember we had this huge debate. And after listening to her and some of the other people speak, because we had multiple cultures and races in the class, I was like, you were so right. When you see a Hispanic woman, sometimes it's a Latina woman, it's not always clear if she is Black, mixed,
Mexican, Puerto Rican.
We don't know.
They're all different.
Mm-hmm. Right? They're all different. But to someone different than a person of color, you're going to just group them right on and you're going to give them the same daggone stereotype and treat them right on the same way.
Yep.
So I did open it up to say like women of color. And that was why. And I noticed when I did that, I started learning more and more about what some of my other clients are facing in the workforce that are almost identical to what Black women face. Mm-hmm. And we don't always talk about these things together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched mm-hmm. and I know for me, my work is specifically focused for Black mm-hmm. people, Black women especially, but there are a lot of similarities. I was watching a video not too long ago about how there's hardly any Asian Americans in leadership positions. They're always kind of like mid-level with mm-hmm. the struggles that they go through. And I remember talking to an Asian American woman and she was like, yeah, we're treated like we're passive. And so mm-hmm. no one takes us seriously mm-hmm. when we speak up and speak out, you know, we're not considered aggressive. And then when we try to be, people dismiss us. And yeah. so, like you said, there are threads of similarities between women in the workplace, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, being discriminated against or not being paid fairly, not being able to get certain projects or promotions because you're not mm-hmm. thought of as qualified. I know I've dealt with that personally.
and that gets me so mad mm-hmm. because Black women.
Yeah.
I mean, and when you break it down even more, studies have shown you can say women of color, but then you have Black women, and then you have women of African. So I'm not going to say African descent. African
yeah.
are some of the highest educated people we have in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
hardest working. They didn't tally the hours. Like these are just facts.
Yeah, this is just facts. That's it.
This is facts. People who don't even like us did studies, and this is what they came up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Black women are very highly educated. We are one of the most highly educated groups. And like you said, if you want to really get in there and break it down, you got different, like Black people are not mm-hmm. a monolith. You got
yep.
Caribbean, African, and then like yep. African immigrants are like Nigerian Americans.
Come over here.
They yep. are the yes, most educated. They're actually, you know, here's the thing. We use, when we talk about minority, that little title, we usually give that to Asians or Jewish okay. people, but technically, and I'm using kind of like these air quotes because the minority is problematic in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But if you really are trying to use that, Nigerian Americans fall under the model minority subtext anyway, but here in America, they're racialized as Black. So then all of that comes with that. So yeah.
I will tell you, and I continue to tell people, my clients and the women I attract or in my audience are some of the most educated, yep, talented, experienced. Not just that. Okay, so you got that. Then these women are like kind-hearted, giving back to the community, understanding.
Yep.
I mean, will give anybody. All of them are also fully invested in the community.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
However, they one common thread. Oh, and my Black women, I'm gonna just get on y'all. Call it imposter syndrome. Call it what you want. It is that I don't have enough. It's that I don't have enough and I need to master everything before I move to the next level.
Yes. Yes. That is absolutely true.
And I'd be like, that's what's holding you back.
That's what's holding
that's
you
why
back.
You're getting lapped. That's why. Yep. That's what's holding you back.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. I will be the first one to admit that. Like, I went out and got my MBA for HR. I got my PHR certification. Mm. I got all these certs. Meanwhile, my white coworkers next to me, they don't have none of that. But a lot of that had to do with that imposter syndrome, mm-hmm, that being held to a different standard. Mm-hmm. You know, one example that I always share all the time on this podcast was I had a job. It was at a company where I was back where I'm from in Wisconsin. And I got the job the Saturday before I started, I got my PHR certification. If you work in human resources, that's a hard certification, mm-hmm, to get.
It is. Mm-hmm.
50% of people fail. I passed, yep, on the first try. So I got my, okay, certification that Saturday, that Monday I started my job. So I've graduated. I got an MBA and a PHR certification. I was there for a year. One of the worst jobs I ever worked at. The company's name, because we name drop on here, FTX Transformer Solutions. It is what it is. I got receipts. I always tell people that. We name drop. One of the worst jobs because I had some of the worst managers. I quit that, mm-hmm, job after a year. The HR manager at the time hired a white woman who she had worked with at a previous company. This woman, I call her a girl because she was years younger than me, but she was a grown woman. She had nothing. She had no HR background. I think she had like a bachelor's in maybe HR, but nothing. And she walked into the same job that I worked at, making the same amount of money that I made. Mm-hmm. And that is a very common thing that you see in the workplace when it comes to, mm-hmm, for women of color, Black women. You see that all the time.
Let me tell you. And this is, and I think my stance, and I tell you, is a little different because I, mm-hmm, do believe you need to change the system.
Yeah.
But that is not my gift.
Right.
And I'm very comfortable saying that to an extent. Eventually, I think I do want to go into like politics at some point in my career. I was like, I really want to maybe delve more. But right now, I see my gift and my place as empowering our women, yep, and saying not only like I used to say, I'm going to teach you how to navigate the system. I don't want to teach you how to navigate.
No, no more navigating.
Right. I don't want to teach you how to navigate a broken system. Yeah. I want to teach you how to hone in on your natural gift and think differently. So you're like, well, oh, you're looking above the system.
Yep.
You're like, I'm not even playing your games anymore. Right. I'm not playing your games. Right. Like, I know who I am. So I don't need to play your games. I don't need to be smaller. I don't need to fit into your box.
That was the advice that they gave us for the longest time.
Yep.
Navigating
yes,
a broken
conform.
System.
Yeah. Yes.
Conform. Yes. Conform,
the moment, conform. The moment I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The moment I was like, yeah, I'm going to just do things differently. I was like, what the heck I got to lose? I'm already stagnant. I have a very similar story, yep, you know, and it makes you be like, well, what the heck then? I tried it their way and I'm still not winning.
Nope.
And I'm still not winning.
Come on.
So it's like, what if I just try it my way? And I will tell you this. So I've been on LinkedIn and it's been this whole thing about interviewing. So I teach my clients a very different type of interview style when you talk about being Black in the workplace. And you've heard of the STAR method, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know the STAR method very well.
It is trash. I'm sorry. It's outdated. It's trash. And it doesn't work for women of color. It doesn't work. One, we find it formulaic, contrived, very too structured for us. you know what? We are natural storytellers. That is us. We're verbal. We should be winning every interview. This is how we naturally communicate. Even the shyest woman, right?
Right.
Can tell you a magnificent, compelling story.
Right.
I will teach my guy, tap into that. Tell your story. Don't worry about that star method. Guess what? You can hit all of that situation. You can hit all of that. Tell your story. Mm-hmm. Compel them. And when they tap into that, when I just winning, we do it on their resume and on their interview style, right? I tell them, think about even when you're going out for a job, you ain't got to meet 100%, 90% of the qualifications. Unlearn all of that. Those rules, this is my favorite thing, I always say, it's okay to break the rules. The rules weren't designed for you to win. So you don't need to follow them. You don't need to follow their rules. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about those rules. Let's try something different. You really want to start acing these interviews? Show up confident. Align with the company's values. Interview them.
Yes.
Not only are you going to tell your compelling story, you want to hear what is compelling, what they need to compel you to work there. You're the prize.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you show up like that. And it's not arrogance. It's like, but I value myself. It's like, I value myself. I know what I bring to the table, and I want to make sure we're a good fit and we're a match, because I want to know how you're going to add value to me.
Absolutely. It's a two-way street. You have, when they ask you, why did you leave your last job? Why did your last employee leave you?
Yeah.
What's the turnover? Yeah. Why is there turnover? Yeah. What is the turnover related to? Because there's two different types of turnover. There's internal turnover. Maybe someone got promoted and, moved to a different department. Fine. And then there's that external turnover. Why is this position opening up? What's going on here? What's your leadership style? That's
what's
important.
Your commitment to diversity?
What's your commitment to diversity? What's your commitment to me?
Yeah.
What resources are you going to give me to help me do what I have to do? We can go on and on, because jobs that have you thinking that you're supposed to beg and grovel for them. And as somebody who works in recruiting, I can tell you, right, companies need people.
Yes.
And you'll be surprised what a company will yield to, because they really need people. They'll play that game all day long, like, hey, we don't need nobody. I'm in these conversations with hiring managers and with human resources and the shortage on the talent that they have. They need you. And as long as you know that going into an interview, the power is yours.
Yep.
But if you go in there with your head down and worrying about what they think of you, you're going to lose.
Yeah. And you show them you are the solution to your problem. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your problem? Oh, no, I've done that. I got that. I got receipts.
Yep. What's your pain points and how can I help you? And talk about how you can fix it. Yeah. What you've done in the past.
And what I say is, utilize your personal brand. Everybody's unique thing is going to be different, and it's okay. Because when you find a company where y'all click and y'all align and your values align, magic happens.
Yep.
Like, people are like, oh, all companies are out to get you. That's not true. That's because you feel like you have to hide and conform and be someone else, that you are attracting companies that feel like they want to take that need to take advantage of you.
Yep.
But the more you open up and be yourself, the more you use that magic within, the more you're going to attract the ideal company.
Yep, exactly.
Who likes that, who likes someone who is, if you're assertive, be assertive. If you lay back and be laid back. If you're a strategic thinker but friendly, which was like my thing, be that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The right company will find you.
The right company. And here's the thing. I understand it's hard to do that. Because we go out into the world and they tell us everything about us is wrong. Our color, our curls, our curves, our hair, everything about us is wrong. So then to say, well, show up in your authentic self.
People always say that. I'm like, what does that mean? Because that's so broad, because my authentic self can be a lot of things now. What does that mean? You don't want everybody showing up as their authentic selves all the time.
I think this is how I take showing up as your authentic self, meaning what feels comfortable for you, that you feel comfortable sharing.
Sharing, absolutely. What do you feel sharing?
You don't have to share every single thing and be like, and when I was two, a car ran over my toe. Like, you ain't got to do all that.
Right.
But being your authentic self could mean like, I like to laugh and I'm funny, so I'm gonna be get a laugh during this interview, right? I might even snort a little bit, right? Like if I'm a little more, like I have some clients who are a little more reserved, and they've been told I need to loosen up. If you're reserved, tap into that and explain, I'm reserved. I think before I speak, that's just naturally who I am. And I see things differently so I can avoid a lot of mistakes. Yep. You know, okay. Like I take calculated risk. I can come into your company and clean up a lot of things because I see things differently and I can help you minimize risk. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can, what I'm saying is tap into that. Not saying you need to be who you are around your family. These people don't know you like that. Right.
You want to keep some mm-hmm. some separation there. But absolutely. I mean, I know for me, it takes time to get there, mm-hmm. especially since we've been conditioned to believe all this mess. And it took time for me to say, I'm going to wear my hair the way I want to wear my mm-hmm. hair. I'm going to show up on my LinkedIn and just show up and speak about my experience and brand myself. It takes time. And then the more you are yourself, you filter through these companies. I had a lot of interviews before I landed here on the West Coast. And it got to the point where there was interviews that I just simply skipped or just said, you know what? We're not aligned. You know, I'm not desperate. I have options. And then finally I interviewed with the company that I'm at now. And he went on my LinkedIn profile and my websites and everything. And I said, I want you to go out there because mm-hmm. I need you to know who I am and what I stand for and what you're getting. Because if we're not aligned, because you're not going to shut me up, first of all. Right. And if we're not on the same page, then we can go our separate ways. And, you know, he was like, yeah, I saw it. I listened to the podcast, this, that, and the other. And now here I am. The right company will appreciate you.
And that's what I want people to know. There are great companies out there, right? People who are like, I applied for 100 jobs and none of, well, first of all, you should have stopped after 10 and reevaluated some stuff. Like 100, are you really vetting these companies? Are you really tailoring your resume? Is your resume branded to reflect you? Or did you just create something, get a template on Google, put up some experience during your job description and start hitting quick apply? Like it's different, you know? So I think showing up as your authentic self, it has layers to it, but it should not feel contrived or so uncomfortable that you get off an interview and you feel like that was completely not me. Like I was completely being someone else.
Yeah. And pay attention to the energy too when you're interviewing mm-hmm. people, especially when you're being who you are. Oh, I can't stress this enough. Pay attention to the energy. Your gut doesn't lie. Whenever, if you are interviewing with somebody and I talk about this, I'm very open about the struggles and the mistakes that I've made. When I interviewed at that job that I just talked about, I knew in the interview, even before I applied for the position, because where it was located in Wisconsin is a suburb, which is really racist. And I knew that I wasn't going to like working there. But at the time I was just like, I need a job. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that it be that way sometimes. And I can understand that. But then when I interviewed with the hiring manager, she was the HR manager at the time, I knew my gut was telling me I was not going to like her. She gave off Karen vibes from day one, corporate Karens, as we like to call them. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't like her. And this is going to be a problem. But I ignored it because I'm like, I need a job and I might be able to put up with it. And very quickly, did I realize that I was not going to be able to put up with it? So if you are interviewing and you're not clicking or something is not right with this manager, like if you feel like you're not going to like them, move on.
And this is what I'm saying. Let me tell you this. This is what I tell my clients. Before you even get there, check your energy. I tell my clients when they're like, oh, I didn't get any interviews. I say, well, what was your energy when you were applying? Mm-hmm. They're like, what? What was your energy? What were you thinking? I just need a job. I just need a job. So you're applying, you're coming off desperate. You're attracting the wrong type of things, right? Check your energy. Even when you're applying, this is why it's so important to do that internal work and build up your confidence, because then you, instead of like, I need this. You could tell yourself, my success is inevitable. I can decline this interview, or you get in that interview in which you, and you feel in those vibes and you're like, I'm not going to like her. Instead of saying, I can put up with this where you know what? I can pass on this because I know soon my ideal job is going to come to me.
Yep.
I know. Yep. I'm doing everything I can.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't, like, I can give you 100,000 stories about ignoring your gut. Just listen to it. And it always comes back. Like,
if every time.
You can suppress it as long as you want to. It will eventually, just like any relationship, it will eventually manifest quickly. Because that's God's way, or the energy, whatever you believe in, telling you you are not supposed to be here. Let it go.
Every single time. When it has come to career decisions, mm-hmm. business decisions, boyfriends.
Oh, yeah. That same gut be telling you about the man you dealing with, or woman you dealing with. Listen to it.
Like everything. It is that energy, something telling us. Mm-hmm. And this is how people ask me, like, Latrice, well, how do I know what is like my gut and my energy versus like, sometimes I call it like your mind spinning or self-doubt, right? Or that fear. Here's the thing. Your gut is not going to make you feel bad. Your gut is not going to say like, you can't handle this. Or your gut isn't going to say, you're never going to find a job again. Or if you don't take this, nothing else is going to come along. And then you're going to be broken. Then you're going to be homeless, right? Mm-hmm. That is fear. Your gut is that feeling of like, this ain't right.
Looking out for you.
Yeah. Sometimes your gut just say no. Sometimes
it is looking out for you.
Sometimes it's just saying, and we have all been there where your gut is like, no. And what your mouth say? Yes. Mm-hmm. Or you try to rationalize it.
Rationalize. And when you find yourself rationalizing too much, and you walk away. I walked away before I took the position that I'm at now. I had an interview at a very prestigious company out west. And it was a company that I wanted to get into really bad. That was the one that I really thought it was Microsoft, whatever. Microsoft. And that was the company I really wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is it. This is so. And then when I interviewed for the role, I had two interviews. When I interviewed the last time I interviewed, I actually got the offer at the company that I'm at now. And I interviewed with one or two people. And right then I felt something was wrong. Mm-hmm. One of the ladies was making too many assumptions about me, like talking about my career. She was like, well, I think you would want this, like kind of talking down to me. And I'm like, mm-mm. Like I felt it. And I said, you know what? I got options. And I told her after the interview, I said, you know what? I already accepted another position. I'm moving on. Give yourself options. If you feel different, you move different when you are confident in yourself and when you have options and you can say, you know what? Not going to work for me.
This is why it's so important to tap into your gift. When you know you are gifted at something, mm-hmm. or when you have identified, and people think purpose, I'm like, okay, purpose, gift, they can go together if you want something, not always, but they can. Mm-hmm. But when you know, like, well, I am gifted at what I do, mm-hmm. I don't need to settle for this. Yep. I don't need to settle for this.
When you're good at something, never do it for free.
Yeah,
you know, got that line from one of my favorite movies. So yeah, just don't settle, you know. And I know it's hard. Like I've been there where mm-hmm. like you need a job. You know, I always, whenever I talk about giving advice, I always try to remember that there's some people who ain't at the level I'm at right now. So I have to be respectful and understand that sometimes people just need a job. And I get that. I really do. I've been there. But there is something to knowing what your gifts are, developing those gifts, having options. And being able to walk away from things that's not a fit.
And this is what, when people tell me that, and people mm-hmm. like, Latrice, I just need a job. I'm going to take anything. I'm going to challenge you a minute. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you're going to take this job. And you think, I'm going to take it and it's going to be temporary. But what's going to happen is that negativity will affect your spirit. Yes, it's going to affect your confidence even more. Yes, and next thing you know, you look up and it's 6-7 years later. And now you're thinking, I don't have any experience. I'm not strategic enough. I haven't moved up in my career, right? Mm-hmm. That job you thought, I'm just taking this job because I need something right now. Yep. And then your excuse for not leaving is that you're so exhausted at the end of the day, you don't have time to look for a job. Yep. Then you can't invest in yourself because you feel like you don't have any money. It is a cycle. And so what I would say is pause. If you really feel like I need money now, there are so many ways to create your own money. Let me just start there. Okay. If you need money to pay your bills, you could do Instacart, you could unemployment, you could freelance. Like I said, back in the day, it was eBay. I saw things on eBay. It is so many ways to stop the bleeding. Yep. Because I do believe before we can get this higher enlightenment and all this, we need our basic needs met.
You gotta get
those basic needs met. You know, shelter, security, food, things like that, right? So I get that. But what I'm saying is if it's something in your career path, right, I would rather you kind of do something a little off that's going to make you so uncomfortable, you know you're not going to stay there, exactly, versus something you can tolerate that's going to make you complacent. And then you wake up 5 years later and you're feeling stuck.
Yeah, or like in my case, just a year later where you was like, we was like, you know what, screw this, I'm out. But it left such a lasting impact where did damage my self-esteem for the longest time, where I was dealing with a lot of imposter syndrome because they made me feel like I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't competent. And that is very damaging. And that has long-term effects. And I tell people, you never really get over corporate trauma, whatever you want to call it. You learn to manage it. Some people get over. I've managed it to the extent where it doesn't bother me anymore. But if I could have gone back, I would have just stayed unemployed longer and found a better job.
Let me tell y'all this. I had a client and she just wouldn't go out for leadership roles. And she was like, I just feel like I'm not a good leader. And I was like, where is this coming from? What are you talking about? 5 years ago, someone told her, a bad boss told her she wasn't a good leader. When she gave me all these examples about how she was, and that had kept her from actually applying to leadership roles. Ooh. It had prevented her from putting anything about leadership, even on her resume. I just want to tell, I want you to see how this manifests. When you like, I'm going to just take this job, right? How it will manifest years later and hold you back, even when you're no longer working for that person. Because that story is stuck in your brain and you're starting to believe it as a fact. Mm-hmm. Instead of, it's not even a thought. It's some random person told you that's no longer in your life. Yep. But like you said, it sticks with you.
Yep.
And then years later, we now working on unbelieving this lie.
So undo the damage.
Yes, a lot of what I work on is exactly that.
It's true, like I said, it's the reason why I started this, was because I was like, you know what, I don't want other people to go through what I went through. You know, I think about the younger generation of Black women that come through, but I get a lot of people from all backgrounds who follow, but it's like, I got to tell my story because it is so traumatizing when you are with a terrible boss, when you are in a place that you are not supposed to be at, because you're just trying to make it work. You know, my last job before I moved out west, I quit. I gave him my notice in April. For a lot of reasons. One, the position, and you can feel when a position runs its course, especially like in any relationship or anything. You've been dating somebody, be like, all right, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this no more. Feel when a job has run its course. When a job has run its course, you feel it even before the last day. So when you start feeling that, that's when it's time to go. Don't force it. Don't be like, you know, want to push through. There's a reason why you're feeling that way. And in January, of 2021, I felt it. I'm like, this job is running its course. And I was only there a year and a half. And we could talk about job hopping later, but I was only there a year and a half. And then in March, I said, I'm going to go out to Seattle after talking to my friend. I knew it was time to leave the space that I was living into. This whole thing, you could feel all of this.
Yeah.
Got out here and I was like, yep, this is where I need to be. This is a lot of stuff going on that I like. And then March 31st, I just gave my notice. I was like, I quit. And I quit for other reasons. The manager was tripping about working from home, and she didn't want to work with me, this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, ooh, I've actually outgrown this position.
Yes.
And I'm actually a lot better than this opportunity anyway. I quit. And she was very surprised by that. I'm like, I put myself in a position where I never need to be where I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. I can always get up and bounce if I have to. And I bounced, and then I was not working for up until July. And I was interviewing like crazy. Like it was a second job, but I'm glad I did it. But yeah, you feel when a job runs its course. Don't force
it. I love it. If a job runs its course, so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for going outside your comfort zone when you're taking a calculated risk. not when something is abusive. It's a difference. Not when something is abusive. I did want to touch on something you said about job hopping.
Okay.
Please take note, everyone listening. There's no such thing.
No such thing.
Okay.
No
Career
such thing.
Coach, HR professional, you're a recruiter, HR professional. We are telling you all, if you think it is, here's a new thought for yourself. Tell yourself, I have diverse work experience.
Yep.
I have learned from many different companies. And it makes me even more valuable. Yep. Trust me. It is easier for me to help and help someone who has, let's say, been at a couple jobs for 2 or 3 years and help them really make big leaps than someone who has been at one company
job
for 15 years.
Yes.
I have to change their whole way of thinking.
They only know one way.
And
you've been conditioned. I was conditioned to that. I was like, man, my jobs are so short term. They're a year or, you know, less than two. And I realized one, there's a reason why people leave jobs. I had to leave jobs because I was either laid off or terminated, mm-hmm. or I was dealing with a bad mm-hmm. manager and I had to get out of there. And then also too, it makes you a better employee for a lot of people. Like you said, you get exposure to different companies and different work styles. It makes you more flexible. It gives you greater exposure to whatever it is that you're dealing with. You make more money faster jumping as opposed to staying at a company. My manager at my last job was there for 40 years, 40. She did not know how to use the internet. There was a lot of things she did mm-hmm. not know how to do because you only know what your company brings in. Yeah. Your company ain't doing much. You ain't got no reason to learn nothing else. Yeah. And so she was very stagnant. If she was to leave and look for work somewhere else, she would not be she wouldn't be hired because she wouldn't know anything about the programs and the process that are in place right now in the field that she's in. And meanwhile, I've been able to take, I've had people bring up, hey, you know, Justin, you only been at your job for 1 year or 2 years. And I always spend that. You know, I'm always upfront about why I left because I think transparency is key. Like, hey, I let them leave because layoffs, this and that, the other. But in exchange for that, look at all the skills that I bring, all the different industries that I've touched, all the different mindsets that I can bring. You got to be able to take that and spend it. But there's nothing wrong with job hopping.
Yes,
it's not even such thing. It's not even a real thing.
I'm like, that is your brain trying to keep you stuck and safe and complacent.
Yep.
That's what that is. It is no such, but first of all, your boss probably been job hopping. Like,
you know, everybody job hopping.
Everybody is job hopping these
and
days.
And companies aren't loyal.
Oh, girl, tell them.
They're not loyal. There's no such, like this what kills me. And I'll let you get back to this what killed me. And I say this all the time. We live in a country where you can lose your job for any reason. Employment at will, right?
That's the law. No reason.
Yep. For no reason. I had lawyers on my show in season one talked about this. For the most trivial reasons, you can lose your job. Companies are loyal to the bottom line. So if companies aren't loyal to you, why do you need to be loyal to them? First of all, the word loyalty needs to be taken out of the conversation anyway. It's a business transaction. When I come to work for you, I'm letting you borrow my skills in exchange for payment. And if I find another job or opportunity that's better for me, that pays more, give me more what I want, I'm leaving. It's nothing personal. It's business. And you'll have people fight me all day long talking about loyalty. And then they'd be the same people who message me when they get laid off. I've had people try to come at me. Go ahead.
I done had the same thing. Then they in my inbox talking about they got laid off.
Somebody tried to blast me on LinkedIn. And then 3 months later, they message me and say, you were right.
And here's the thing. Again, I'm not going to say they're not companies out there.
Right.
You have to find and attract. You got to purposely search and dig. It is not going to be the first ones that come up on Indeed. I'm sorry. It's not going to be the first ones that's on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's not how it works. You're going to have to dig a little bit. I did find, and one of my clients brought this to my attention. Have you heard of certified B Corp companies?
Certified what?
Certified B. So you can look it up. I can have the link. So what it is it's these companies that have almost like, it's not even like a certification, but they've committed to like their organization being diverse, loyal, like all these different things, and they're getting the certification, and it's a list of them. And so I tell people, if you're very focused on a company and you want to make sure that this company aligns with your values, see which company is doing a little bit extra. Not who is posting up Black Lives Matter, you know, in 2020 and then nothing else. Not the ones who got stock photos of people of color on their website. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about companies who have committed, who have committed resources, who have committed people, who have committed time and training to changing the culture, and not just of their company, but worldwide.
Yep.
And it is companies like that. And you can seek them out. You can target them.
Yep. Do your research. Like you said, do your research. Talk to Black people who work at the company. Oh my God. If you are on LinkedIn and you don't see nobody of color working at this company.
Reflect. Let's take it further.
There was another company in Chicago and I looked at the picture. Everybody's under 30. Everybody is really skinny. Everybody is really white. So then you got to look at it in from age, race, like they're very specific about who they recruit for. But talk to the Black people who work at your company, the people who either work there or still there. They ain't got to be in your department. Talk to them and let them tell you what's going on. There is a website, I want to say Hire Black, but there is a website that was created by a few Black people where Black people review, it's like Glassdoor for Black people, where they review these companies and their commitment to social justice or just how they treat their Black employees. And I will find this information and I will make sure that it's on our website and everything else.
But let me know.
Yeah, I will find it because it's a website. And the person that made it, I'm connected to on LinkedIn, just for the life of me, I can't remember, but Black people are reviewing these big name companies. And you'll be surprised that you may find a company that aligns with you that isn't even one of these big shot companies. Like for me, my mind was on Microsoft. I really wanted to get in there. And I talked to a lot of people, you know, Black and white, about Microsoft. And, you know, some of the Black people were like, it's a good company, but, you know, they have some issues. And I end up going to a company that I didn't even think I would even want to be at because it was more aligned with what I was looking for. So don't be so loyal to the ideal of one company.
Please hear this. Because I have had let me tell y'all, some of these startups I'm hearing really great things about. Now you do want to be careful. You want to make sure it's a financially stable startup. So maybe one that's still been around for a little bit. Not something in the first 6 months. Maybe they
not one that's under a year old.
And then I'm also seeing, like you would think, nonprofits by default. Please research nonprofits as well. I'm going to be honest. Research nonprofits. We think a nonprofit. Now, sometimes if the nonprofit is aligned, like if their, you know, their whole mission is around diversity or things like that, it's different. But there are so many different types of nonprofits. Please just be careful and
research. Don't let the word confuse you.
Right. Don't think because they're a nonprofit, they're one.
They're gonna be problematic.
And again, I love nonprofits. I've worked for nonprofits. I love nonprofits. I'm just saying, these are some things to really think about. And if you take nothing else from this, you are worth it. When we talk about building Black Wall Street and building wealth, we have to think differently about wealth, what that means, what that is, what it looks like. And wealth is not a short-term. When I think of wealth, I don't think of short-term fixes. I think of something longer term. So I think we also, as Black women, need to think in terms of, you know, like short term, like immediate, short term, long term legacy. That's how I think we need to think about it. Yeah. And what I see is sometimes we're resistant to invest in ourselves because we think we won't see the immediate return on investment, which is so not true. Well, we invest in other people because we believe they're more worthy than us. And when I say other people, I mean friends, family members, things like that. And sometimes you have to invest in yourself and say, no, I'm going to have to be a little selfish. If I am well rested, if I am refreshed, that is long-term legacy. That's long-term wealth. Because we need to have not just monetary wealth, financial wealth, we need to have wealth as in our health, as in our mindset, as in our mental Absolutely. Right? All of these things, we need wealth as we need to be wealthy in these areas of our life as well. Mm-hmm. And we get so caught up in the day-to-day grind of just putting out the fires, dealing with what's right in front of us, that it's hard to see the long term.
Absolutely. We said that in part one of Rebuilding Black Wall Street. I had my friend Martinez White on there, and we talk about wealth holistically. Wealth is not just money. It is not, like, for me, money is important. It's great, but it's not my sole motivator when it comes to a new opportunity or whatever. Like, my wealth is mentally. Am I happy? Physically, am I okay? Am I stressed out? You know, my wealth right now is that I have a job where I have flexibility. I can work from home some days. I have a manager who I like, and he's very hands off. I work a job that's not stressful. I clock out every day at 4 o'clock. I don't have to take this. That's wealth. That's all those things add up.
I love it.
Because I'm a much happier person because of that. So
yes.
When we say wealth, especially on our podcast, we are not just talking about money. We are talking about holistic wealth. Are you mentally happy? Because I get messages from Black women all the time who are senior level, and they are some of the most miserable people because they are just so consumed with work and they're not appreciated. They don't know what to do. And I'm like, you make more money than me, but are you happy?
Let me tell you, I've coined this term career wellness. Mm-hmm. Is what I call it, career wellness. So about, I would say 20 to 30% of my clients, when they come to me, already have their ideal job, but they've seen the effects. I put up a post just the other day about one of my clients saying that how her mindset has changed. She showed up differently. And she said, now she's a force to be reckoned with. Right. Yep. And so when someone comes to me, or even I have clients that I've helped gotten the job and then they resign and renew with me, it is because they're like, all right, now I have this. I don't want this job to control my life. It is a part of my life, but I need career wellness. Mm-hmm. It is not the whole thing.
Yep.
And when I say career wellness, I mean, they're like, Latrice, I have this high paying demanding job. I need to spend time with my husband. I need to spend time with my kids. I need to think. I need to process. I want to hang out with my friends and my family. Like, how can I, and the thing is feeling worthy and not feeling like I need to work. And that's how I'm going to prove my worth. That's how I got to continuously prove that I am worth this money they're giving me.
Yeah. And Black women feel like that all the time. Because you got this good paying job and they'll
take it. Don't lose that good paying job.
The white people that you work for will always try to low key remind you, you know, you got this job and we can take it from you anytime. And then you stressed out. I'm like, there's always other jobs.
Yeah. When you know your gift. You know your gift.
My brain goes with me.
Yep. Your brain, your gift.
All that goes
with me. You can say, I love my job. I value my job, but this is also a job.
It's just a job.
I want to do my best, but I'm not going to kill myself.
Nope.
And that is that. Sometimes you hear people talk about like masculine and feminine energy. I've also really tapped into our cultural energy. Our energy as Black women and women of color. We do things differently where someone else can work 45, 50 hours and then come home, you know, drink a beer, a glass of wine and go to sleep. We may have to work and then come home, pick up the kids, make dinner, clean the house, like help kids with their homework. Like we have all of these other things that we need to do. Like right now, my mom's going through some health challenges. We may also be taking care of another family member. We may be helping out financially another family member. Like we have all of these different layers. So when we come home, it's not like, whew, I'm taking off the brown sleep. It's like, no, we got other stuff to do. And you need to be energized for that. Because to me, your family is the priority. Your career is important. But what are you doing this for if not to have a legacy?
Exactly.
If not to be happy at the end of the day. And so that's what I'm teaching. It's like, look, tap into that. What if you can get all your work done in 38 hours a week?
Yeah, the mindset is changing on that too, because people are realizing that a lot of people, you can get your work done in a shorter amount of time. But
women.
We're women.
We always do this.
Always been able to do this. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, we can keep going on and on. I try to keep the podcast within a certain time. We could go on and on, but I gotta have you back on again so we can keep, because everything we talked about can be its own conversation. So when we talk about job hopping and talk about you know workplace, we can dive deep into that and why that's so problematic and the things that we've had to unlearn as professionals. Mm-hmm. The older you get, I mean, I can talk about the fact that at this point in my career, I'm not trying to be the CEO. I'm just trying to live a comfortable life because I have a life outside of my job. But you know, in the interest of time, definitely want to make sure we save that up and have you back on. Miss Latrice, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your wisdom and understanding that you are valuable. And that's why we created this community of people. And it's like I tell people, if you don't have anyone in your community in real life, a community of Black women who can support you, we are always here. There is a very robust online community of Black women who support and love on each other. So I encourage you all to connect with myself. And then Latrice is going to tell us how you can connect with her.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love about the community. You can find me on LinkedIn. I am. That's the main place that I play. So it's Latrice Hoff SPHR. But if you just type in Latrice Hoff career coach, you will see me show up. You'll see that it says career coach for ambitious women of color. Mm-hmm. I am here to help. Again, whether it's finding that job or whether you already have that job and you're like, I want overall career wellness. I will say, you know what? Okay, I had this on my notes. Can I talk about two things really quick?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to do two things really quick because we had this. When we talked about ancestral cures, really quickly, a lot of our default programming has been coming from our ancestral curses. Yep. We're calling them curses now. I actually think if we talk about curses, sometimes you call them cultural curses. You also have to mention cures. So what those cultural curses are things like how we talked about, girl, you better not lose that good paying job. Like, okay, if I lose this job, I'm still me. I can get another one.
Exactly.
Right? Or things like, you got to work twice as hard for half as much. Let me tell you, I cannot tell you how many people tell me that. And I'm like, this is why you're stuck at that salary. Because guess what? You don't need to work twice as hard to make half as much.
You don't.
Oh, why are you even saying that? You're putting, the more we repeat that, the more we're making it true. And now we have all these women out here working twice as hard, making half as much.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't even make sense, right? Or these things like, someone even told me, like, they were told, you have to master one level before you go to the next. Let me tell you, I was taught that too.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, sometimes we have to say, what if it's just not true? What if, and this is what I mean by a curse of that will keep you stuck. It's no mastering. It's always something you're going to learn. And then when it's something you don't know in a meeting, you're going to be like, oh, this is why I'm not ready for the next level. I didn't even know what ROI meant or, you know.
You will be surprised how little your manager knows and those above you know. I had a manager who did not know how to do half the stuff I already knew how to do. She was my boss. You will be surprised what your manager don't know. They may be able to get away with it because especially they men or white people kind of give them more grace than we do. But don't think for a second you need to know everything. Also, please stop overworking. Because these people leave the office at 4 o'clock on the dot and they do not check their emails
or three.
And they don't check their emails on the weekend. They see you on Monday. And I used to be that person.
Or three on Friday.
Yeah, three on Friday. I always tell people on Fridays, I don't take no meetings. And after noon, like after 12 p.m., I check out. Like I'm not even online no more. Like I'm doing my own thing because the work will still be there on Monday.
Oh, let me tell you, or the hard work. Just work hard. Let me tell you, I had a client. She was like, I've been told you just work hard. I said, what if you check the box on working hard? What if you've done that? Now is your time to relax and reap the reward. Yep. And I'm not saying don't make your job and your career a priority. That's never what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, there is, you need career wellness. What I'm saying is these things, no, these thoughts no longer serve you. Mm-hmm. And I call them cures. Let me tell you the balance behind that. These things helped our ancestors survive. This is why you are, if you're listening to this, you are here now because your ancestor worked his or her butt off. Yep. You are here right now because they worked twice as hard for half as much. You are here right now because they kept their head down and their mouth shut to survive. Mm-hmm. They did what they had to do. Here's the thing. We don't need that anymore. So you can say thank you to your ancestors. Thank you to your elders for everything that they instilled in you, for instilling the hard work, for instilling that I need to be someone who does things with the level of excellence. Thank you for that. I'm going to take what I need and I'm going to move on, because right now for 2021 and beyond, I'm going to create new sayings for this next generation.
Yep.
Like, make work as hard as you need to get exactly what you want. Like, you know,
yeah, exactly. But, don't be doing too much. Y'all, right, people doing right, too much.
Right.
Just, my saying is a job is just a job. I can always find another one. Those are my sayings. And then too, you can do too much and then you create an expectation that you either can't keep up.
Yeah.
Or you just don't want to do no more. You can be that person who's checking emails up until 10 o'clock at night. Yep. If you set that expectation, that's what they're going to expect. And by the way, you don't get paid more for doing that. You don't, it's not like when I was running into issues at my job, my manager never said to me, Jessica, I noticed how hard you're working. The only time she ever really brought up anything is when she wanted to complain. So it was never like, hey, just I see you, I want to help you. It was always complaining. So I learned a long time ago, if you fall back and do less, you actually get more.
Let me tell you, and I'll tell y'all quickly, even with my own business, the moment I said, let me rethink this whole hard work, and I'm a, you know, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
I cut everything down. I have one service. It is a comprehensive service, my Fearless Branding Formula. I put everything into my women. It is a high-end program and they get high-end results. My business is very simple, streamlined. I have a six-figure business and I have my business has really blown up and expanded because of me thinking differently, because of me saying, like, I appreciate and I'm so grateful for what my ancestors have poured into me, but I'm going to take what I need. I work hard, but guess what? Not on Mondays. I work hard, but not really on Fridays either.
Yeah, I don't work on Fridays.
You know, and so you can create the lifestyle that you want for yourself around your career. Okay. Those are not mutually exclusive, like they tell us. And you can have different things. You can have it all. You just don't need to play by their rules to get it all. Nope. All right. So just wanted to leave that.
So it went a little longer, but like I said, we dropped gems in here. We definitely going to have Latrice back on because this was a really good conversation where I was like, wasn't even thinking about the time. So I really appreciate, I love conversations like this where you just can go on and on and on. But you said folks can follow you on LinkedIn.
And then my website is talentstays.com. So you can find all my information there as well. I'm on really the social media. I'm on Facebook as well under Talent Stays. So you can find me under Latrice Huff. But LinkedIn is where I play the most. I have a lot of content on LinkedIn. I have the hashtag Latrice Lessons if you want to hear more about my thought. Oh, I almost forgot. I have a podcast.
No, yeah, you do have a podcast. And I forgot I have a podcast.
Called Career Coffee Chat for Women, where we have more discussions like this. So okay.
Yes. Well, thank you, Latrice. This was a great conversation. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I hope people connect with you and, you know, really listen to what you had to say, because this is really good content. So thank you so much.
Well, that's it. Thank you for listening. Questions or comments? Please visit our website, www.blackmissintheworkplace.com, and let us know. And also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course, LinkedIn. Until next episode, stay focused and stay centered. Peace and love.